Welcome to Business Rockstars. I'm Alex Worley. Joining me right now, Benoit Vetturi. He is the CEO and co-founder of Mammoth Media. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So if you could start out by telling us, what is Mammoth Media?
Mammoth Media is a mobile media company. So we're publishing apps. The idea is to entertain users on the mobile screen 2 minutes at a time. We have two apps currently that are up in the charts, one called Wishbone and the other one called Yarn.
Awesome. Okay, well, we are going to dive more into your business, into your journey in just a second. But first, we like to play this game. It is called 60-Second CEO. So you can give me your quick instinctual answers, starting with, who is your favorite entrepreneur?
Eve Williams.
Someone is very disruptive in a bad way in your company, but they are good at what they do. Keep them or fire them?
Keep them.
How many hours do you sleep a night?
Six.
Do you work weekends?
Yes.
What is the first thing you do when you wake up?
Check my emails.
What rule do you live by?
Never give up.
On a scale from 1 to 10, how weird are you?
6.
When did you realize you have the strength and power to become an entrepreneur?
I still haven't realized it.
How would you describe yourself in one word?
Strong.
What superhero would you like to be?
Spider-Man.
I love it. You're like straight into the point. My kind of guy in this game. That's what we like. Now we have more time to slow it down, dive into your journey. So let's start with this. What does it mean to you to be an entrepreneur?
I mean, it could mean a lot of things, but for me, it's to take a shot at everything that you think could be a great idea and not be afraid of taking the risk. So being an entrepreneur is risky. And taking risk is part of the life of an entrepreneur.
Do you think you should just go for the risk, or do you think that there's such a thing as a calculated risk? How did you know that this was the risk you wanted to take?
You always try to age your risk and calculate how much risk you're taking. But unless you do it, you never know how much risk you're taking. So yes, I'm always trying to take the least amount of risk for the most rewards,
sure.
But you have to go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. So what were you doing before Mammoth Media?
Since I graduated from college, I just built companies. And so I did a total probably of like 12 startups until this one. And the one right before Mammoth Media was another media company that was a mobile ad network.
So tell me what it was like going straight into entrepreneurship and really being a serial entrepreneur.
Yeah, I was in college and I was not really thrilled about going to classes and listening to what was going on. I wanted to run my business. I wanted to make money. I wanted to build things. And so that's what I did. First out of college, that was, you know, in 1999, the internet was getting strong and started thinking about what I could do on the internet. And I went for it.
So you are from France.
I am.
What point did you decide that you wanted to come to the States? And when did you realize, okay, maybe I could further my businesses if I did so?
After I sold my first startup out of college. So started it in college, kept going after graduating, sold it. And that's when I realized that, oh, maybe I should go somewhere else to pursue that entrepreneurship that I have in me. And I was talking with friends and it's like, why are you not moving to the States? That's probably where you will be able to accomplish most of the ideas that you have in mind. And I'm like, let's do this.
Any advice that you have for somebody moving to a new country and starting their businesses or growing their businesses here?
Yeah, I would say surround yourself with people that know what they are talking about. I think advice and guidance from strong people on all fronts, right? From legal to finance to all the different things that you need to build a business, especially when you move to a new country and it's a new set of rules, it's important to be surrounded by the right folks.
When you started your first business, were you ever afraid to fail? Did you ever consider quitting?
Of course, yes. And I still do. That's part of the journey.
Even quitting you every once in a while?
I mean, for a matter of like maybe half a second, like, what am I doing here? It's tough. But it's always the same thing. You're like, okay, no, I'm going to get back at it and I'm going to push through and I'm going to make it happen.
What keeps you going?
I think it's the reward when you build something that has an impact. That feeling when you accomplish that is strong, and I love it. So I keep seeking for it.
Sure. If you could go back in time and give your early entrepreneurial self advice, what advice would you give yourself?
I think I would say, like, probably take more risk. The younger you are, the more risk you can take. You don't necessarily have, you know, mortgage, family to take care of. So I think I would have taken more risk probably if I had myself right now. I was like, just take more risk, do it now.
And what about for someone who is not fresh out of college, mm-hmm. what advice would you give them?
I would say to really, when you're getting into, a lot of people have ideas. And I think ideas are not enough in those days. So start to build what I would call a proof of concept, to really see if it can work, and to really see if it's a potential business. Don't give up everything without some kind of proof of concept in place.
Yeah. If you were to create a startup toolkit, what mm-hmm. would be inside of it, tangible or intangible?
I would say some savings in the bank. That's one. A good lawyer. That's two. And I would say a good product. I would say person maybe, or flow on how to build something. And it's difficult because sometimes you have an idea and you don't know how to go from idea to execution. And there are known methodology on how to accomplish that. And so that's what I would give to someone that wants to start.
Sure. What would you say has been the best part about being your own boss?
I can call the shots. I don't have someone that has to tell me what I have to do. So
what's the hardest part?
Is that you have to take care of a lot of people. And so you need to make sure that the decisions that you make are going to have a positive impact and not hurt them.
On a day-to-day basis, how is that different? You know, if somebody's still considering whether or not entrepreneurship is mm-hmm. right for them, mm-hmm. what does that, I don't want to say burden because it's a good thing, but mm-hmm. what does that responsibility look like to be, you know, have employees and yeah. have everything be on your shoulders?
It's a 24/7. It's tough. The journey is difficult. It's long, but it's rewarding. And so it's a nonstop type of thing that you keep thinking about. You keep thinking about what you're building. You keep thinking about the people that you hire. A lot of people put a lot of of belief in what you're doing, and so you have to respect that and be careful about what you do.
Mm-hmm. When you're making a tough decision, do you go off of research or your gut?
I usually start with my guts and then try to validate that with data.
Who is your number one mentor?
Mike Jones.
What is the best piece of advice that you received from him?
Move fast.
Elaborate on that. What do you? Look in your business?
And for me, like, I have a new app idea. Mm-hmm. Let's get to an app built and to market right away.
Don't sit on the idea. Like, come up with your minimum viable product, see if it works or not.
Yes.
If it doesn't, move on.
Get data right away. And exactly. And the next thing is, you know, don't be afraid to call it a day and move mm-hmm. on to the next thing.
I think that's something that isn't talked about enough in entrepreneurship, because a lot of times people are just talking about don't give up, don't give up, don't give up. And in general speaking, yes, don't give up on the business if there's something there, but you can waste a lot of time sticking with the wrong idea.
It's a tough balance, right? To not give up too early, but not give up too late, right? Giving up too early, you could miss on a big opportunity. Giving up too late, you may just kill the idea and the company itself. So it is tough. And I don't have a recipe for that. I don't have a formula for that.
How do you know? Do you go off again of that more gut feeling?
It's more gut feeling, but it's also some rules that you set after X amount of iteration. If you don't get the traction that you're looking for, and all, like myself, I always go with data. So I have numbers in mind that I want to reach. If I don't get to those numbers after 3 iterations, for example, I'll call it a day.
Yeah, because ultimately you have to look to your audience. Is there a response? And after iteration three, if it didn't work with your audience,
then it's probably not the right one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, good summary. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, come back, talk about building the business. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars.
Have you ever thought about becoming an entrepreneur? Are you tired of building somebody else's dream? Well, go build your own. Go to businessrockstars.com and find out how. Businessrockstars.com.
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
If you travel for
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. I'm Alex Worley, joined by Benoit Vatiri, continuing our conversation about his company, Mammoth Media, which is he is the CEO and co-founder of. So where did you come up with the idea for this business?
So my experience over the past, I would say, 10 years has been online. And I've seen the shift from desktop to mobile web to apps. And I've seen a lot of successful company on mobile, which are around games. And I believe that was a way to entertain users beyond games. And I wanted to really focus on premium content. But for that to happen, I realized that I have to own my monetization and my distribution. I cannot rely on a Facebook, on a Snapchat, on Instagram to get in front of users. So that's why I figured that here I had, if I wanted to be the next media empire when it comes to mobile, I could do this and nobody has done it yet. Building a distribution platform, a monetization platform, and then start thinking about formats.
Yeah, and obviously that's a huge feat. I mean, you're competing with the biggest of the big, you know? And so, but that's great. And having a huge vision is part of the equation. Mm-hmm. So give me a little bit of a behind the scenes look of what that looks like when you're wanting to build a huge platform like that.
It's a lot of engineers. So I have an office with probably now 15 to 20 engineers working nonstop. It's a lot of thinking around what it takes to acquire a user, because distribution and monetization comes from the ability to acquire yourself a user. So there is a lot of data involved. If you come to our office, it's screens everywhere. Like if you are on Wall Street trading stocks, it's a lot of green and red all over. It's a lot of engineering work, a lot of data work. And then product, because once you have that platform, now you need to have a product in place to put in front of those users.
Yeah. Coming up with capital in the beginning is always a challenge. How did you come up with the capital?
I went to raise a seed round. So first round, I went to Science with, a startup studio / investor in the LA area. I knew Mike Jones was CEO and founder of Science, went to pitch him and raise a round to get going.
Any advice when it comes to pitching and securing funds?
Yeah, it's brutal. You're going to get a lot of no's. And probably you're going to get, I would say, at least 50 no's to get one yes. So keep that in mind. It's not because you're going to get your first 3, 4, 5 no's that you're not going to be able to raise money.
So it's a perseverance game.
Big time.
With that said, is there something that entrepreneurs can do to increase their odds?
Yes. Come with data in front of an investor. Because if it's just an idea, pretty much today, it doesn't cut it anymore to raise money just with an idea. So with a proof of concept, with data that supports that there is some traction, you don't need to have thousands and thousands of users, but some early data that tells you that there is some traction or that tells you that could be some traction.
So you should be testing out your idea first and have that proof.
And come in front of the investors with that. And then when you're in front of the investors, don't go small, go big. They want to hear big.
What do you mean by that?
You're not the next $10 million company. You're the next $1 billion company.
Okay, I love it.
They don't care about the next $10 million company.
Yeah, and obviously it depends who you're exactly pitching to. But
of
yeah,
course.
In the arena that you're talking about, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about your team.
So my team, it's a team of 5 executives. And it's a total of 40 employees now, all in Santa Monica, California. And it's a good mix, a third of engineers, a third of content, because that's the core of our business, content development, and a third of operations, which covers data, monetization, and user acquisition.
So what are you looking for when you're hiring a new team member?
Passion. Skills, of course. But with the same level of skills, I need someone that believes in the business and will be with me in that journey, like he is a founder.
So do you measure that in the interview?
In the interview process, yes, a lot.
How would you describe your work culture?
I would say work hard, play hard, probably is the easiest one to define it. But beyond that is, yes, really, really focused. And you know, all of us are just with eyes on the prize.
Do you have any ways or practices that you implement into your office to really promote that work culture?
Yeah, I mean, all of us at the executive level are trying to communicate that to our teams. But in terms of focus, yes, we do. Like I do all hands once a week, and every all hands meeting in front of all the employees, I recap what are the goals for the next 4 weeks. And we go through all of this all together. So everybody has the same set of goals, no matter what, if you're an engineer, if you're a data scientist, or if you're a salesperson, you're all working towards the same goal. And I make sure I reiterate those goals every single week.
Yeah, that's a good point, because a lot of times departments get so bogged down with what's right in front of them mm-hmm. and lose sight of that bigger picture. Mm-hmm. But if they're connected to that bigger picture, it's going to make them more passionate, to your point earlier.
Yeah. Yes.
So what would you say has been the biggest challenge so far?
For this company, I would say the biggest challenge is to nail the quality of content, right? And for us, that's the core of our business. Obviously, now we have the platform, but we need to put content with that platform in front of users. And you realize that the quality of content really matters. And when we say premium content, there's a lot of premium content. And you can have amazing engagement with really strong content. But if the bar is too low, the users are not going to engage.
Let's talk about content for a second because it's only getting bigger, especially video content. And our entrepreneurs are, regardless of what industry they're in, they're probably content creators in some fashion, if nothing else, just on social media. Mm-hmm. So in your opinion, what is doing well in content?
I think a lot of folks out there are really thinking content or format for mobile first, which is really good. That makes you consume the content and engage the content a lot better. I think there are a lot of folks thinking about the quality of the content, but in my opinion, there is so many social, snackable, poor quality content, pranks, you know, fails, all that stuff that you see, cute animals all day long. And in my opinion, I mean, it's an oversaturation of that kind of content. and we need to raise the bar and get into what you can consume on the longer form, premium content, bring it to shorter form. And right now, it's not necessarily happening.
Okay, let's end on this fun note. And that is, if you weren't an entrepreneur, what position or role would you want to have in the world?
Probably politics.
Politics?
Yeah.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, I think that's something that I love and very passionate about and would love to be part of that picture.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for stopping by. Pleasure meeting you and learning about your journey.
Thank you so much.
You're
welcome.
Thanks for having me. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Joining us right now is Patrick Ambrun. He's the CEO and co-founder of Brand Yourself. Tell us about your company again, brother. Recap for us.
So simply put, Brand Yourself helps people look better online. So that's dealing with dangerous items like poorly judged tweets or Facebook statuses or bad press, as well as helping them promote positive, relevant things.
Well, you just told us an awesome story about how you came through a season of adversity in your life when you were trying to get your business up off the ground. And we cut to a little break there, but we're back now, and you had something that you wanted to add on to it. Take it away, brother. What is that?
Yeah, the question that a lot of people ask is why were you able to get through that, and what made you stay motivated? And I realized, I think part of it too was having a background where I grew up. I grew up in a town called Fishkill, New York. Which is, I don't know.
Fishkill.
Kill is Dutch for creek.
Okay.
It's right around Poughkeepsie area. Big IBM town, and most of the town was employed by IBM. And, you know, in the 90s going in, everyone lost their jobs. And it was very difficult for most of the town. And I remember thinking, even when I was a kid, that, I don't ever want to be in a position where, you know, I could work for someone for 20 years and then suddenly, you know, there's nothing I can do. And then you're at a point in your life where you're no longer in the driver's seat, and you get in this place where, like, what are your options? So I think part of it deep down too is knowing that I wanted to give myself a chance to never have to be in that position.
And I love that, because people think it's so crazy. People think that job security is real.
Right.
And I know in some cases it is. But for most of the people that have a job that don't take the risks of starting their business, don't take the risks of being an entrepreneur, they are doing it at some level, fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of whatever. Deep down inside, they think that their choice they're making now is actually the safer one,
it's crazy.
The more comfortable one. We just had one of my friends, Peter Vuga, on the show literally yesterday, and he said something that was just like so perfect. I'm trying to remember what it was specifically. It was like basically something along the lines of like, safety is not real. It was like, being safe is risky.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember exactly. It was like, being safe is risky, though. It was like along the lines.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like, if you didn't have the experience that I had growing up, But I graduated in 09, you know, right at that crash.
High school? And college?
College.
Okay.
And if you believed in job security then, like that blew my mind, which was, yeah. I remember.
They're trying to be safe, buy real estate, get a job, and then
it's like, listen, nothing. And if you don't have skills, if you haven't taught yourself or adding some sort of value, you're disposable. And I think, you know, more and more people are realizing that. So, you know, it came down to, how do I do my own thing where I'm in control? And, you know, the other thing that always shocked me is I was able to get through that adversity time, you know, which was basically just, I'm making no money. I feel like I'm going backwards. You know, I'm starting to feel stuck. But I did it at a time where, you know, I was fortunate. Some people have more even obligations than I did. But the older you get, the more those obligations, like, I didn't have anyone to care about. I didn't have, I just cared about myself. If I went too much in the debt, I didn't have a wife,
kids,
mortgage, responsibilities. And I remember thinking that all the time I had to put in, all the sacrifices, you know, that you have to make, it's, I don't know, how would you do that at, you know, on one hand, you're saying you have more experience, so it wouldn't be as difficult, but I can't imagine that.
But it's like, it's not real experience.
Right.
In my humble opinion, how could it be real experience if you've actually never built a business?
Right.
I know people, I worked at a company for 20, no, that's okay, that doesn't count.
Right.
You've never paid the money for the salaries of other employees. Mm-hmm. You just complained about that yours wasn't big enough.
Right.
Imagine paying other people's salaries. You haven't spent
those decisions.
Yeah. Oh, I was a marketer. Great. Well, you never spent the money on the marketing campaigns.
Made those decisions and I can't imagine. I mean, I guess to your point, it's going to be a learning curve, regardless. A difficult pain, unless you get so lucky. Mm. Starting a business and that's what you want to do.
The product, the demand, the timing, crucial.
And those are are the stories sometimes you hear that give a false sense of what it's going to be like.
The Instagrams.
Yeah.
$1 billion in 18 months.
Right.
Like, come on.
But they're so rare. I mean, that's why they make news, right? They're exceptional.
Yeah.
So there's going to,
hear about all the failures.
Right. And there's going to be, even the successes, there's going to be a very difficult, painful learning curve. Now, maybe a few extra years of experience, you know, change that curve a bit, but not much.
Not much.
Which means if you're going to go through that curve, it's kind of better to just pull the plug earlier, I feel like, because you've got less to lose. And that's kind of something, and again, I've never been on the other side of that, but I feel like a lot of people say, I'm going to wait, I'm going to do this, I'm going to wait till I have X years of experience and I'll be ready. And it's kind of, I don't know, if you want to do it, just do it now, because the longer you wait, the more painful that learning curve is going to be, unless you get really, really lucky.
And I 100% agree with that. CEO and co-founder of Brand Yourself, Patrick Ambron's in the house. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. How do you stay passionate, brother? You're bringing a lot of fire to the house right now. How are you staying so passionate? What keeps you motivated and excited?
I think I'm just really, I feel at least I'd like to say every day, but it's not always the case, but at least every week I really do have a realization of how lucky I am to be in the position I'm in. Like, I look back at my parents and like my relatives and I'm saying, I'm a relatively young man.
Yeah.
I'm in the driver's seat. You know, we're certainly not as successful as I want us to be, but the fact that I get to go in and make really difficult decisions, build a team around me, it's really, really stressful. But there's at least once a week, and I try to make it every day, but a real genuine feeling that just, I am so lucky to be in this position where, you know, I get to engage myself creatively. I get to, you know, lead a team and build people, the type of people I want around me. There's so many people you talk to outside of the entrepreneurship world who, you know, their biggest complaints are, you know, they don't have a say, or they feel like they're not learning anything, or you know, they don't. You know, you spend all your life in work, and you don't have a say with who you work with, and
or you spend 20 years building someone else's asset to find out you're left with nothing.
Yeah, and you don't even. And a lot of them, you know, as you get older, you feel like I'm not. You know, it's very rarely. You know, the biggest complaints aside from the essentials is, if I had just made more money, I'd be happy. And what you really hear is, like, I just feel like no one listens to my ideas, or that just the people I work with are idiots. How many times do you hear that?
Or they hate their boss.
I hate my boss, or there's so much office drama, and I get to be in control. Like, the fact that that all starts and ends with me, I feel so lucky about it, and all the things that allowed me to do this, that it's really easy to
get distracted,
to get passionate about it again when you realize, like, I'm in such, such a position that so few people get to be in that. It's easy then to replace the passion, replace the feeling sorry for yourself or getting stressed out with motivation and passion.
I find when we play the comparison game, it expires us or inspires us. But a lot of the times, you know, we do get too focused on our career, too focused on our life, too focused on some of the external factors and circumstances and environments that we're in currently to pull our head up and be like, wow, in the last 3 years, 5 years, and 10 years, I've come so far.
Yeah.
And 3 years, 5 years, and 10 years ago, I'd beg for the problems.
Yeah,
I'd beg for the situation that I have now. And it helps to remind ourselves. For me now, I was going to put like a number factor on it, but I'll be like mad some months when I won't hit a certain goal.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be like, oh man, you know, I was so close to getting to X number in personal income. And then I'm like, I'm really feeling bad about that right now. And then I'm like, 3 years ago, I would love to have made that in a year.
Yeah.
And now I'm mad. And so it's just crazy how, like Albert Einstein says, law of relativity, just depending on how you look at the same thing is going to determine how you feel about it.
There's two interesting things in there of what you just said. Number one, the importance of goals, because you can't just feel, I'm so lucky. You need them balance that with hitting goals. Like setting goals is so important because it's what drives you forward. But like you said, it's all relative. So I really do believe in the... whatever the saying, the adage, where you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with, which I heard that and said, it's absolutely true that if you surround yourself with the people you want to be in 5 years, suddenly the things that would make you lethargic, like, wow, I'm making good money in a year, whether it's money or position or
health or anything.
Whatever it is, it's really important that you put yourself in a situation where you're kind of hitting above your weight class, because that's going to motivate you too. It's going to, you know, because the downside of not doing that is, a false sense of I'm doing just fine.
Let's shift gears real quick. Talk about sales and marketing. How are you guys actually going out? How are you generating clients?
So to date, so we've grown a lot. We've doubled every year since we had the, since we started generating revenue.
Yeah.
And that's actually been inbound. So the good thing for us is we've developed a really good reputation in the space. So this can happen to anybody, right? There's three main reasons. First, anyone can say anything about anyone on the web without many repercussions, no matter how true it is.
Yeah.
So we deal, it's like a lot of times it's you get trashed by an ex or an employee you had to fire or someone you competed with, right? And the other one is everything that we do online, everything we post on Facebook to everything that
don't say
we browse.
It. Don't say it lives forever.
It doesn't go away. And it can come back to bite you.
Yeah.
And more people are realizing that. And once it happens to you, it has such a direct effect on your livelihood that you're looking for solutions. And we've really, we've grown through word of mouth. And the fact that when that happens to you, you're looking for help and you'll find our company. And we provide, again, all these tools and things you can use for free. And it brings people to us. That said, we've been building more ubiquitous tools, we think, that are not just helping you fix problems, but helping you prevent problems and monitor for problems and be proactive. Which means that to grow that, we're going to need to be proactive. So what we're doing there is we're actually exploring that now. Who are the best people to partner with?
Sum it up for us in a nutshell, short and sweet as a wrap up.
We're looking for partnerships with basically job seekers, which could be colleges for college seniors or job boards for job seekers.
Okay, so somebody says, I love this guy. He's inspirational. His story, he's already inspired me. And I love what his company's up to. Where can they learn more about you or follow you?
They can go to brandyourself.com to learn about the company, or they can follow me at Patrick Ambrod.
There you go. Thanks for coming on the show, brother.
Thank you very much for having me.
Appreciate you. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
And now, a Business Rockstars Minute. How can you make better decisions as an entrepreneur? I'm Pat O'Brien with a Business Rockstars Minute. While procrastination is one thing, pining over one option or another can oftentimes be a huge waste of time. To assist you in making more calculated, thought-out decisions, here are a few things you can start doing now. One, stop worrying. Stop worrying about being perfect all the time. Taking a leap without all the answers is okay sometimes. Two, being independent is a huge part of decision-making. Surround yourself with the best and the brightest, get the information, and act efficiently. Three, don't problem solve, just decide. Sometimes intuition needs to play a role in the decision-making process, just not analytics. If your intuition steers you wrong, admit the mistake and you'll see how your team will have even more respect for you. It lets them know you're human. I'm Pat O'Brien and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
when people first hear about MediShare, they have questions, some really good questions, starting with the obvious. What is it? Well, MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. It's not health insurance. It's a different way of doing things, which leads us to the next question. Why do people do this? Why do they become MediShare members? Here are two of the biggest reasons. Number one, people feel good about it. They're not trapped in a plan that makes them pay for things they don't believe in. They know their money is going to help people. And the second reason, people save a lot of money. Maybe you've heard us mention the typical family saves about $500 a month switching to MediShare. And one more big question, does it work? The answer is yes, 1,000 times yes, or 400,000 times, since that's how many MediShare members there are, and they've shared over $2 billion in medical expenses. So easy to find out right now how MediShare can work for you. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE, 844-91-BIBLE.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
Hey, have you ever thought to yourself, I would like...
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. And this is the CEO Roundtable segment. Joining me right now is two rockstar CEOs. Who are you and what do you do? Give us the elevator pitch.
What's up? I'm Cole Hatter. I'm an investor. I'm an author. I'm a speaker. And I just love investing in people and companies that make me a better person, the world a better place.
I love that. And Cole and I are buddies, so they've got a background. So I already know what you do.
Yeah, right on.
Elliot?
Elliot Taylor, food and beverage industry, vertically integrated, the alcohol and the restaurants.
I love that. So I like to get the segment started off with kind of letting people know the reality of being a CEO. I think it sounds trendy to be an entrepreneur or a CEO. And from an outsider's perspective, if they haven't already been one, they may think, oh, it must be so cool to be a CEO. You must be so successful and you must have all these employees and it must be so cool to be a boss. Although some of those things may be true, I think people relate and all of us can relate to failures, mistakes, more so than we can to successes and achievements. So I'll get started with the first one and then we'll go over to Cole here. I have a huge spectacular list of failures and mistakes and I always try to mix it up and do a different one. The one I'll pick is hiring people too quick. And in the beginning of my company, I thought it would be cool because you can't just call yourself a CEO and be the only person in your company. You got to hire people. And so I hired people on too fast. And in a position where you're bootstrapping it, you need to be really careful and strategic about where you're allocating financial funds. And hiring people just because it makes you seem cooler because you have a company with employees is not the first thing that you should be allocating funds to when you're bootstrapping it. So that was one of my mistakes. I want to hear what yours was, Cole.
You know, I can relate to that. And since, like you said, we are friends, you know, some relationships and business I've gotten into that have backfired as well. So I think there's definitely a due diligence period. You just remembered who I'm talking about. There's a due diligence period of definitely whether you're hiring someone or going to partnership with someone that you should do first. But one of my mentors says kind of the opposite, hire fast and fire faster, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's there's always going to be employee turnover. And almost like dating, you know, if you only date one person for your whole life, or if you had the chance as you're growing up to have different relationships, you can see in somebody what you love about them that you might not known that you would be attracted to. And so the same is true in as an entrepreneur looking for employees is if someone meets the criteria, hire them quickly, set your standards and your expectations up front. And if they're not met, fire quickly as well. And so his whole role is turnover. You know, he says he has literally a 98% hire rate. Everyone he sits with, he hires.
This sounds like Gary Vee. Is it
it's
Gary?
Exactly okay, Gary Vee. Yeah, so, all right, so I don't know. Yeah, so Gary Vee was talking about this in Thrive, and we've talked about a bunch. He has literally a 98% hire rate, and then you know, over 50% fire rate,
yeah.
Because he just wants to turn and burn. So I think for long-term relationships, it's important, and especially for partnerships, that's specifically yeah. where I've been burnt, is letting people not just work for me, but in as far as whether yeah. they have equity or are a major decision maker, who literally turn out to be frauds, and I lost big for that.
No, absolutely. I mean, and to play off your point too, I mean, with, you know, taking that responsibility with the failures, no matter how good you think your employees are, if they screw up or if something happens and it reflects poorly on the company or the business that you're in, no matter what, the buck stops with the CEO. You're always gonna take the fall, always gonna have to step up and take that blame. And so you just have to always be willing to do that no matter how good your employees are, for sure.
Just curious from your guys' perspective, what do you think is the hardest part about being an entrepreneur?
Yeah, I mean, giving up, you know, parts of the decision making that you do as you scale and you get so big, you can't do everything. And I've always been, you know, I've wanted to have my hand in everything and make sure everything's done the proper way, the way I would do it. And that's how most CEOs are. But you get to a point where you have to be able to trust people within your organization to make those decisions and be confident in what those decisions are. And it's hard sometimes. It's hard to you know,
trust
diversify,
other people.
Diversify
people, yeah.
the you know, the major decision making, you know, abilities.
People make that mistake all the time. They're yeah. like, well, I can do it better, or I can't trust them to do it.
And yeah, it's hard.
People
yeah.
make that mistake when they're growing their businesses.
Oh, for sure.
I can, you know, piggyback off of that and say that that's something I've struggled with as well, is micromanaging, being a perfectionist. And what I found is that I have done a poor job, still to this day, and I'm growing, of taking what it is I do and creating some type of flow chart system or process so mm-hmm. that anyone can replicate it.
Yeah.
And so I will hire someone and say, here's your job, go. And when it's not done as well as I was just doing it, getting frustrated and being like, why don't you know how to do this?
Yeah,
it's like,
why
oh,
am I paying
you? I never told you how to do it.
Yeah.
My bad. And so, you know, something, whether it's a process I've created or some way that I've integrated what everyone does, like marketing, to work specific to my business and say, oh, you have a marketing background, handle it. Well, they might not know how I market. And so one of the hard parts for me off of what you're saying is not just micromanaging and the emotional release of letting someone else have that role, right? But then taking the time to properly equip them with the system process from A to Z of how to do it. And one thing I've overcome that with, that I've done with my personal assistant, is actually if it's like something that's done online, like software, screen sharing it or screencasting it so it's yeah. recorded like a Camtasia and using a microphone, and literally if it's a 30-minute video, it's a 30-minute video of showing them
yeah.
every single thing, so that now it's recorded and they can watch it 800 times if they need to until they have it memorized. So that's something I've started doing recently that will
that's
help
a great
a lot.
Idea.
Yeah, I love that.
It's a really good idea.
I'm always curious to know tools, resources, and different things like that that people are capitalizing on. There's over a billion apps. There's so many different websites and platforms and tools and resources we could be capitalizing on, whether it's Odesk, 99 Designs, LegalZoom, Infusionsoft, Fiverr, you know, different social media platforms for productivity, for health, for whatever. Evernote, we were talking about a couple of them earlier, but it's like, I want to know what you think are the one or two things that you're using that have changed your life or your business. Do you guys have any tools, resources, or apps that, you know,
I mean,
it's integrated
use
in
Dropbox
your life?
Dropbox on almost everything.
Okay.
I have every company, you know,
yeah.
differentiated within Dropbox for sure. But legally speaking, I mean, I used to, you know, skimp on that way earlier on. You're like, oh, man, it's such an extra expense. Yeah, let's just do LegalZoom, or let's just do use this company, or let's do a Wyoming Corp, whatever it may be. And that will always come back and bite you. You know, you've got to be, I think with legal terms and legal documents, LOIs, contracts, et cetera, you got to go full show and you got to pay that dollar. And it'll help you in the long run, for sure.
Yeah, I was just having this conversation. There are several things in life you never want to discount.
Yeah.
Tattoos, right? Medical care, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I can go to Mexico and get this operation for cheap. And legal
yeah.
either advice or structuring. And we literally just have this conversation that, you know, you might be able to get some discounts in some things in life, but there are other things that you're going to have to live with the rest of your life
yeah.
That you definitely want the discounts on. So that's huge. For me, it's nothing sexy. The thing that I've noticed has been working the greatest as far as changing my business right now is Google calendars. Nothing exciting, but I have so many different people messing with my schedule, like even booking this out, that the fact that they all have the usernames and the passwords and can all see without having to call each other, email, just looking at my calendar and seeing whether it's open or not, and then each of them scheduling things, has made my life way easier, because if my wife and I or kids and I have something planned, I just put it in there and say block, B-L-O-C-K, nobody can touch that.
I feel like with the dynamic here, we could just go back and forth for days, but I appreciate you guys for coming on the show. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.